Hello and welcome to Elim Church, Swanley. You're joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, for today's podcast.
Yeah, good morning, world. We thank you so much for gathering around the mics and listening to these podcasts that we are putting together here with Sandra Robson as we just be still and know that our God is alive and all is well. We are in the persecuted church. It's that Thursday morning. We are looking and seeing what's happening. We're on our catch-up time. We're going to go back and we're going to recap, but it's great to have Sandra with us today as we just look and as we just see what's happening through Barnabas, and we're going to go into Open Doors as well, into that ministry. Two great ministries that we're looking at today. Last week, we were just cruising through and a bit of a catch-up and everything that went on, but we just want to say good morning and thank you to every listener across the globe that is sharing this sort of stuff. Can we ask that you push this out more? We must get this out. It's really critical. Church leaders that are listening and congregation members and anyone that's just interested in the world of the suffering church and the persecuted church around the world, could we ask you just to push the share button and just to share it out a bit more? But good morning. May God bless you and strengthen you wherever you are. And we are so pleased that you are listening, you're partnering with us, and we are getting God's word out, and especially within the UK, to have Sandra with us talking week after week, studying, looking, being involved in for the years as well of really lifting this up. We thank God for Trans World Radio and Barnabas and Open Doors Release International and some other ones that are out there for the great ministry work that they do, and we lift them all up and we support them all. But this morning we are just looking into Barnabas, and we may just go into the World Watch List 2021 through Open Doors, and we may just have a quick look at that. Sandra might be led to that. But good morning and welcome. Sandra, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
You had a busy week, haven't you?
I have. I've got a busy schedule.
Yeah, teaching away. Well, Sandra, you know, it's so good that you have been called to this. You know, we thank God for your life and everything about you. May God bless you in your teaching career and what you do as a supply teacher and everything that goes along with that. May God bless you and strengthen you. But Sandra, we are starting to see, aren't we, a very clear, heavier press than we've ever seen before.
Yes.
In the world of persecution.
Yes, looking at the map, yes, it's increasing the number of places that are starting to be coloured in on the World Watch List is increasing. And I'm sure, you know, when the new one comes out, we're going to see a lot more, as we were just talking about, particularly in the African continent, which I'm going to be looking at today. And last time we touched on the eight kinds of pressure which Barnabas had been looking at in their article, because we were saying that this is the time of year when they have a whole time of thinking about the persecuted church and getting people to pray. They have a special week to lift up brothers and sisters and to say what's going on and encourage people to get together to pray and support. And so we looked at the government policies, the top-down pressure, and the military oppression in Myanmar and the things in China. And we looked at India and saying about how anti-conversion laws are increasing violence there. And we looked at how in Muslim-majority countries, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Christians, particularly on those who come from Muslim faith to become believers. They're really, you know, really persecuted. And we talked about the different countries that that's occurring in. I don't know, do you want me to run through that list again, or
do you know what, Sandra, whatever you bring to the table,
okay,
whatever you feel that you,
all right,
you know, this is unscripted, this is just raw. We are being led by God. We're literally going by how Sandra feels.
I don't want to overload people with information, and I've been looking at this again and praying and saying, Lord, what is it you really want me to highlight? Because there are many things, but I've really been, you know, paring it down to give you an overview. And then during the last couple of weeks, I've also been involved with Zoom and online evenings with the different organisations. So I've been involved in their prayer evenings, and I've got information from that. And there's been a lot of testimonies and things that we've talked about. They've then talked more and said what the latest is, how those stories have progressed as well. Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Afghanistan, Maldives, Somaliland, Mauritania, Morocco, Algeria, Iran, Kurdistan, Kajikistan. Apologies, I do find it tricky to pronounce some of these, and I do practice it, but I still find it difficult. To Tajikistan and Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan, and these are all places where Muslims are putting pressure on believers not to believe. There's violence, and there's there's things in place by to stop people believing. We know about penal codes in Iran and all sorts of things to try and prevent the church from growing, and they're concerned because it is growing. And that's why we have to remember why there's persecution, because Jesus said there would be. And, we know that the enemy doesn't like what's going on. He doesn't want people to know the truth. He wants them to be kept in darkness. And we've got, the Buddhists putting on pressure in Sri Lanka. And we know that there's been bomb attacks, sadly, there. But we know that the people in authority are really condemning this, and that's really good. We know that the president is really, saying this is wrong and this is terrorism. So that is good, but it's sad that there are people who are doing that. Right, so today I wanted to look at community pressures. I think we started to look at that last time. I'm going to finish off doing that, and then we're going to look at the rise of terrorism around, particularly in Africa, to get a bit of an understanding about that. So, and the community pressures for Pakistan are the false accusations to do with the blasphemy law. And sadly, nurses have been accused and attacked. And that's very sad, because they're wanting to care, obviously, for the sick. And, and they've got a real role. And a lot of them are Christians, because they believe that it's, vocation that Jesus wants them to have.
A calling.
Yes. Yeah. So there's been attacks in January, April and May this year.
And whereabouts is this?
In Pakistan. In different places in Pakistan.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very sad.
You've got nurses out there that are giving their life to save another human being, and they're coming under attack. This is an area for prayer. This is an area to lift up.
Lahore. If people know Lahore. It happened, and Faisalabad. That's Faisa. Labad.
Faisalabad.
Yes. And they were attacked by their colleagues after being accused of blasphemy.
Okay.
And the same happened to nurses at Karachi Hospital as well.
So let's clear this up. So this is under the blasphemy law.
Yeah. They've been accused of blasphemy.
Yeah.
And apparently some Muslims occupied the staff's hospital chapel. As a protest. So this false accusation going on, often it's to settle personal grudges. And at the moment, there are 20 Christians being held on death row on blasphemy charges. And since 1990, at least 15 Christians have been murdered because of blasphemy allegations, often before their trial. So that's very... very sad to hear. And India, we were talking about Hindus, how they're disrupting, particularly prayer meetings. So we were saying how they must think this is really important, that prayer, they feel to particularly disrupt prayer meetings, and they're assaulting believers and pressurising landlords to stop them meeting in buildings, taking away the buildings. and basically intimidating Christians.
Yeah, they must think it's important, mustn't they?
Yeah, particularly disrupting
a Christian prayer meetings. Yeah, they know there's some power in prayer.
Yeah.
So we need to put that before we need to put that before the Lord in prayer.
Yeah,
you know, here within the UK, that the Hindus in India are being very disruptive to prayer meetings, and because they know that there's power in prayer. You know, the power of when the church comes together and prays, that God moves.
God moves.
It's great. You know, there's a bit of a smile on my face. There shouldn't be, but come on, Lord. This is good news. This is good news.
Yeah, and we pray that when these Hindus come, that they will sense the presence of the Holy God,
Yeah.
And that it will freeze them. I pray that it will just like, you know, that it would be so powerful. So we pray for our brothers and sisters to continue praying and to not give up and to be bold for Jesus. And I know they are being. And I thank the Lord for the way he got open doors to share those videos, how it turned things around. So the things that the extremists were sending out to say, look how good we are, see what we're doing to the Christians, actually gave evidence to show firsthand what's going on.
So the enemy set themselves up.
Yeah.
It's exactly a biblical area again, isn't it? When you look what happened, you know, the enemy was overplaying their hand, taking the videos, putting them out there, and then suddenly we've got the evidence that you're actually putting yourself in the firing line for what you're doing.
Yeah, so the British government have got all those because loads of people sent in all that information, Open Doors sent. Now, Egypt, so again, we have an improving situation for the church.
Oh, it's improving.
It is improving, but there's always a little bit of a but, and that's why they wanted it highlighted. Praise God that the president, al-Sisi, and the government are very supportive of Christian minorities.
That's good news.
Laws have been brought in to enable church buildings to be built and to be open and registered, and so people can gather and they express, and the president and others have expressed outrage and sympathy after anti-Christian violence, and they're giving support to victims and bringing cases to court.
So the government, the Egyptian government is supporting house of worship, supporting getting them open, getting the movement.
Yes.
This is very good news.
Yes, they see it as a thing of stability and they want to have that freedom. However, in the grassroots, and this is of what course. Causes the problem, there are Muslim extremists that are embedded in the community that are putting pressure on people, and it's that that's causing the attacks on churches and businesses. So although the government is, you know, being positive towards Christians and seeing their value, the Muslims have these extremists have another agenda and are trying to undermine that, and as we know, sadly, I did talk about this, that there were some Muslim brothers Christian brothers who owned a shop, and they were attacked by two Muslim brothers, and one of them died of his injuries.
Okay.
And now those two Muslim brothers have been charged with the murder of Ramesses Boulos.
So they have
Hemani.
They have been brought to to task.
Yes, but I haven't heard what's happened since. But anyway, they have been charged now with this vicious assault. So that's an encouraging move. Because before, as we said, that, you know, the police would take the perpetrator's side. And they weren't listening to what had happened, you know. But now they are dealing with it. So that's
good news in
that's
Egypt.
That's encouraging.
Very good news.
Islamists in Libya, this isn't so good. They're forcibly converting Christians and they're being sold in modern day slavery markets.
Really? Christians are being sold as slaves.
Yes. They're being converted. they're being forced to convert to Islam, and then they are being sold. Yeah, so be aware of that. So that's your, you know, to get again with the human trafficking and all that.
Yeah, human exploitation
and human exploitation, all
that that goes along with everything. Father, we need some. So on a good side in Egypt, there's a nice improvement. There's some good news, and then drop back into Libya, and it feels like it's gone back. It's going back further. Yeah. They're really, on the map, they're up there, aren't they? Look. Yeah. So whereabouts are they? Sitting at number four, is it?
Yeah, number four here.
Sitting at number four? Mm. Wowee. Look at that.
Yeah, and there's also violence against refugees in that area, from West Africa and Eritrea. So, you know, if they find out you're a Christian or a refugee, then you're going to make your life hard. And, but we know that many are coming to the Lord in these refugee camps as well. And we're going to see that when we look at some other things. Then another, praise God. So it's a very mixed picture.
It is a very mixed.
Laos, praise God, in 2019, I didn't know this, the communist government passed a law of freedom of worship and organised seminars across the country so everyone would know about it.
And whereabouts is this?
That's Laos.
Wow.
Where is it on?
Really? Here? That's good news.
Yeah, Laos. That's at 22 on the World Watch list. Yeah. So that happened. Again, however, although these things are happening, just like in Sudan, there is now a move for freedom of religion. It's getting to the grassroots. It's getting where, you know, yes, the overall people are saying, yes, but it's in practice, and we need to pray for hearts to change, that village chiefs and local officials in remote areas don't continue to order people to harass and persecute Christians. So although the government has said, you should be able to worship freely, and they're a communist government, the village priests and village chiefs are saying, no, you know,
yeah,
Christianity is not what we do.
It's not our tribe, our culture. It doesn't fit. Yeah. So there's quite a strong, it's a stronghold, isn't it?
Yeah.
So where the governments are flexing, the governments are being more open to it.
Yes.
When you get down into the villages, get down into the tribes, you know, the tribal areas of that, we can see that that's probably a very strong resistance to Christianity.
Yes, because they see that as their identity and everything coming under attack.
It's our culture, it's what we've been birthed in, it's everything.
Yeah, so this is so that's why it's a community pressure.
Yes.
So although things are working out well in the overall thing, it's then getting down to community level, and it's one on one, and it's just the beautiful witness of
Hallelujah.
The Christians there and praying for them and blessing them, and you know that hearts will be changed, you know, as they see Christ. So that's that. Now the big one, obviously, that we are aware of,
here we
that's
go.
Happening, which is a big, big pressure, is terrorism.
Yeah.
So, it's this hard
is quite
reading
hard.
This.
This is hard to read. This is very, very deep. This is quite a heavy, heavy push.
So. In April 2021, the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, USCIRF, if you're looking it up, said there is a Christian genocide if the government can't protect Christians.
Wow.
So that's what they are saying now. So that's April.
Mm-hmm.
They said if the government can't protect Christians, then that's what they're saying.
Very sad, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But Again, we know there's spiritual things going on. Mm-hmm. There are terrorist groups operating in Nigeria. You've got Boko Haram. They started in 2002 in northeast Nigeria. Their stated aim is to establish a caliphate. And we know what I've talked about that, what the caliphate is, that they want to build, a centre that and usher in Isa. So it's getting this state, Islamic state.
Islamic state.
That's what they want, and that's what they're... so there is a spiritual, significance, how, why, and why it's all increasing.
Very much so.
It's interesting that their leader died in May this year, but the followers remain.
The followers remain, yeah. That was a big story, wasn't it? Maybe God is working. Maybe God is going to break this down.
And then the other group that are working in Nigeria are Islamic State West Africa Province. And they are an offshoot of Boko Haram, and they are armed. And then we've got jihadists, and we've got Fulani herdsmen, who are also armed.
So it's a very big issue, very strong and very powerful, but God is greater than any enemy. And it's an area of prayer. It's an area where sometimes the human mind can't go to, because it's absolutely ghastly, the things that go on in that world of terrorism, and they will stop for nothing. So we really need to seek God's face and His presence, and ask Him to move on these children, the families, the women, the fathers, the Christians, and the schools, and everything there. It's out of control, and we pray that the governments will be strong, that God will strengthen the governments, and God will strengthen the believers that are going through these atrocities.
Yeah. So it was northern Nigeria that was particularly being hit, and then it's moved to the central belt, and now it's moving towards the border.
Right.
And they are concerned, because there's not been anything. Because as you know, people think of Nigeria as being one,
exactly.
But it isn't.
It's divided up, isn't it?
Yeah, the south aren't really very much in touch with what's going on. What was going on in the north, but they are now concerned, because it's coming onto them.
It's coming onto them.
Onto them, onto the border. And of course it's spilling out into the other areas, as we're going to say. And one thing, again, that the Global Terrorism Index report, that is part of that other one, are saying that there's been a shift. IS activity has moved from the Middle East to Africa, leading to a surge in terrorism in many countries in the region.
Oh, dear.
And so...
we don't like that word surge, Lord. We don't want that word surge, Lord. Father, we want them to back up in the name of Jesus. We do not want a surge. Protect the borders. Come, Lord, Holy Spirit. Yes, Sandra, it's a very deep press, isn't it?
It is.
It's,
but we will show the other side and, what are their concerns. There's issues in Burkina Faso, in CAR, that's Central African Republic, DRC, what was the Congo, and that's the Democratic Congo, in Kenya, in Mozambique, Mali, and Niger. So I'm going to have a little look at Mali.
Let's turn to Mali, see what we can
what's going on in
get
Mali.
Some form of an idea. There's so much information. Sandra was talking about information earlier. Information is good. Information is needed. And Sandra, please don't worry about overload, because there's never an overload. God is always just dropping in what He needs to drop in. But we're all well. So what we're going into there, Sandra?
Well, I did have something on Mali, but at the moment...
We're awash with info.
I can't locate it. I'll come back to that.
It's not a worry.
It's just I've got an asterisk there, so I must have had something particular.
Something dropping your spirit.
That I was going to mention. Yeah. Anyway, yes, so we know this is going on, but we know that God is working through this. We know there are many underground churches. We know that there are a lot, you know, the people, you know, sadly, who have lost their lives, lots of pastors, they were involved in work where they were, you know, Muslims were coming to Christ. Lots of Muslims have come to Christ. And obviously, again, the enemy's pushing back. And there's different ways that this happens. And, you know,
the enemy is very strategic. The enemy knows how to move military style. You've only got to look at Goliath. They were trained for war. They was birthed for war. Nephilim, the giants of old, you know, the Old Testament, they was led very, very powerfully by demonic forces. They was giants. They was fierce warriors. So that is the same for today. You know, there is the war is a very dangerous, a very bleak area. You know, and mixed that spiritually, it is very highly infused and very powerful. Ah, we got it.
Right,
we're back.
Okay,
we
so are back. It's not unfortunate. It's not a very good piece of it.
It's okay. It's all good
information, but it's just something I didn't know about, and I, you know, thought, you know, just to increase our awareness. A senior Christian leader in Mali reported in April 2021 that more than 50 Christians, men, women, and children, had been brutally killed by the, you know, Islamists. You know, I won't say more than that. You know what they do.
Yeah.
In central Mali, 7 Christians were abducted by Islamists between November 2020 and 2021, which is a new thing. And they were forced to speak in Arabic and recite Islamic prayers in an effort by their captors to force them to deny Christ. That's something, you know, praying Mali for our brothers and sisters in Mali. Yeah.
Okay, so there we have it. You've got Sandra.
Yeah, and they're using motorcycles a lot. They're just coming in, jihadists are coming in on motorcycles, so they're there and then they're gone.
Very quick, so, easy to disappear on a motorbike.
Yeah, so that was something I just wanted to...
Just to bring to the table.
Bring to the table. So just pause about that a moment and just think of all our brothers and sisters and pray for wisdom for the governments, that they won't bury their heads in the sand. We pray for those who are colluding as well, because unfortunately we know there is some collusion.
Yes, yeah.
And that they will see people as people, and that the Lord, will do his work in these places, and that he will have his way.
Praise the Lord.
And
thank you,
Jesus. As it comes nearer to the border with the south, that the South will wake up, because there's lots and lots of Christians in southern Nigeria. And so we do pray, and we pray for the governments, including our government, to put pressure on, the Nigerians. They have information, they have things. So, Father, but we know that prayers are what the people need.
Please, Lord.
And we send our prayers to them. We send our prayers to the widows, Lord. We send our prayers to the churches who've lost pastors. We send prayers, our prayers of support, Lord, to build those churches again that have been torn down. We pray for those that have had to run into the bushes to escape. We pray for those who have been had to run several times, Lord, that they have been uprooted so many times because
Father.
Their villages have been attacked on multiple occasions. We pray for those who've lost their children. We pray for those whose children are in captivity now. We pray for those girls and boys that have been kidnapped, Lord. We pray that their Christian witness would shine through, that they would encourage one another, that they would... that their captors would see the love of Christ in them, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord.
Yes,
we thank
Father.
You for the trauma centres that have been set up, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful work that is going on. We thank you for the way you're bringing different Christians together to support one another, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful testimonies we've heard from these centres, Lord, how you have healed and restored, and in that has become a testimony, and others have gained strength and encouragement and even come to faith through that, Lord.
Amen.
We just see, you know, what the world wants to see, but you have a greater, bigger plan, Lord. So in the darkness, we know the light is shining greater and greater. And we thank you for all those pastors who are continuing to stand for you and shepherd their flocks in these really, really difficult times, Lord. And we just stand with them and we say, we are with you. We are one. We are the body of Christ together, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that I can just say these things,
yes,
and help people to know what's going on. And Lord, where we can support and encourage, where we can give, that we will give generously to help our brothers and sisters, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are putting their lives at risk to find information, to support, Lord, in these areas, in Nigeria and in Africa, Lord. And we pray that many of these fighters, Lord, will turn to you. And we pray that the money sources will be stopped, Lord, because so many are poor and they're looking for work and they get caught into doing these atrocities and kidnappings and all these things, Lord. And we know many of them don't want to be doing it, Lord, and they get caught up into it, Lord. We pray for the young people, Lord, and we pray also for forgiveness, Father God, that there would be that they would be able to keep from forgiving, as you know, you say that you forgave much, and they say that too. So, Lord, I just bring all that to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, Sandra, it's been a good morning. It's been a good morning. We've travelled, you know, you've brought some fantastic stuff to the table, and we just pray for our listeners out there, you know, and never forgetting as well that great radio, Transworld Radio, for the information that they have and that you can get out. So we've been in Barnabas, we've just very briefly skipped onto Open Doors on the map we've had there. Have we got anything else to wrap this up, Sandra?
Well, we'll carry on with a few things next time. But it's really to say, you know, there are so many good projects that are going on. So in the face of all this, as Barnabas say, you know, God is faithful. I mean, in Pakistan, helping people with the brick kiln people, they're being released from slavery and, you know, their children are being able to go to school. And, you know, as I said, there's trauma centres set up for, you know, people who are dealing with, you know, terrorism and violence. And, you know, food aid is getting through to these people. God is making a way where there seems to be no way. And that's the thing. And it says, you know, that good news is God is building his church because he said so. He said he will.
Amen.
And he who began a good work, he will carry it on till completion. And as we remember, you know, what it says on here, actually, I noticed it has that 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying the body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies.
Amen. Praise God. Sandra, we thank you so much. May God bless you for the rest of the day and the rest of your life, Sandra, and everybody listening. We thank God for what you brought to the tables, and as we've spoken, as we've been still in the presence of God in this studio, we thank you so much for sharing everything that we do here in the world of the Persecuted Church. And we do ask you again, as I started out at the very beginning of this podcast, please can you share this out concerning the Persecuted Church? Please, please, push this as much as you can. Thank God for your lives. We will see you next week. May God strengthen you and bless you and keep lifting up these nations that we've mentioned. Pray for the government. Pray for the persecuted and pray for those that are bringing the atrocities to the believers. We got to keep praying. Prayer is changing things. Prayer is moving very clearly and very powerfully. There is good news. We must emphasize that this morning. There is good news out there. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you soon. Stay blessed and stay in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Elim Church Swanley's latest podcast. You can find us on Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Alexa, Mixcloud, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.